The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hola, welcome to the Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club with your host, the man from the land of Lincoln, Lincoln Heights that is, David Hernandez, and from the city of San Fernando, Jeffy Gergenti. You heard it right, Hispanic Republicans. Why? Because brown is the new red, Republican red. So listen up and hear what being a Republican is really all about. Faith, family, and free enterprise. It's time to wake up and see how the chorizo is made and smell the menudo. And who knows, you just may be a Republican after all.
Well, it's Feliz Navidad, my friend.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. At least we can still say that. They haven't changed it. So Felix Navidad or Felix...
That's right. Felix Navidad. That'd be a good one.
Yep.
I don't even know how to say happy holidays in Spanish. I have no idea.
What kind of Mexican are you?
I'm not. I'm a new Mexican.
You're a new Mexican. Tell me you're a pozole Mexican.
I'm a pozole Mexican.
Oh, my God.
No. Yeah, it was
no,
a day.
No,
yeah.
No.
Well, I didn't really discover menudo until I was a teenager.
We used to go down to San Fernando to the Panderia and with a bucket, and we'd buy it, you know, like $3 worth, or, you know, like people would buy a three-finger drink. This was like $3 worth of menudo.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when I moved to Los Angeles, the thing that kind of one of the things that really like gave me a culture shock was menudo is only available on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, what is up? Because back home in Colorado, you could get it every day of the week.
Well, here it was a delicacy. So, yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club show. And that other voice back here for a return visit is our good friend
Emilio Martinez.
Emilio Martinez.
Martinez. Yes, there we go.
And now you mentioned Colorado. Is that where you grew up?
Yes, I grew up on the Front Range of Colorado in a small town called Pueblo, Colorado. Pueblo.
Pueblo de Colorado?
Yeah, Pueblo de Colorado.
Come on, enough of the Spanglish. Come on.
Pueblo de Colorado. No. You want some
mucho mejor.
This was actually the Spanglish down there. I live in Pueblo by the river.
By the river. Orale.
Yeah, that's where we learned. Ese, orale, qué tal?
Don't tell me you wore khaki pants and Sir Guy shirts.
I didn't. I was a nerd. I like dressed in like... I didn't even wear jeans until I was like a teenager.
Friscos in your attire?
No, but I had cousins who were lowriders. Where I got my street cred. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, so I'd go. And then when I was a teenager, I listened to Cheech and Chong. Because every Christmas, oh, my gosh. In fact, where can I get me some Cheech and Chong right now?
Well, on every corner. Just look for the green... The Green Cross. It's everywhere.
The Cheech and Chong Christmas.
Oh.
It's Santa Claus with the bony knees.
Yeah.
You remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was always like a classic in Pueblo. Every year we would wait on the radio by the radio to hear.
Now,
Santa Claus with the bony knees.
You were in Colorado. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine the lowriders in Colorado had a little bit more money than the lowriders, say, in Pacoima or Sun Valley. Because I remember when they would go into a muffler shop. And they'd have them put a torch to their springs, so the car would lower because of the bending and the weakening of the springs, which made a pretty awful ride when you were bouncing around.
Yeah, no. Mis primos, man, they had the best low riders.
Look at the hydraulics now that they have.
I think they had hydraulics in their thing. In their Vatomobiles. Back then, so yeah, we were able to afford better things.
You could have like a 66 or a 64 Chevy Impala, you know, gray lowered with, we didn't have baby moons on lowrider cars. We had those on the other on the Willys or the others. But yeah, I always wanted a silver lowered 66 Chevy Impala.
Yeah. See, now again, I was a nerd, so they just let me ride in the back seat.
Well, I had to learn to drive.
Sit in the back seat and be quiet.
Yeah, or
in fact, duck down because we're driving by some girls right now.
Yeah, or we used to go to like the Van Nuys drive-in, and we, you know, some people would have to go in the trunk, and so we would get in cheaper. And then once we were inside, they'd come out, and then we could watch the movie.
Yeah, yeah, I think we did a little bit of that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and growing up, I grew up here in the San Fernando Valley, moved from Lincoln Heights to North Hollywood in 1955.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it really changed. I mean, when we moved from Sitchell Street right off of Broadway in Lincoln Heights, all my friends were the Mendozas and the Comprells. You know, the Gonzaleses and that. And when we moved to North Hollywood to a nice little track home, my neighbors were the Aronsons and the Mathiases.
Oh, right, yeah.
And the Liptons. And we were the only brown people, you know, in the neighborhood. Yeah. And it was kind of neat. You know, people were – this was like, what, the 1955. So people were a little apprehensive about Hispanics moving in. Well, they didn't have Hispanics then. You know, back then.
Oh, yeah, they had like Spanish people, Spanish American, Mexican Americans.
Yeah,
right?
having people, and they didn't even have people of color. I mean, we've gone through so many descriptive
iterations.
Names.
I know. It's like white people, we used to call them Anglos.
Well, you know, I look at my birth certificate, you know, and it lists my father and mother as white. You know, maybe the people that call me a coconut, you know, maybe I guess they're right. You know, brown on the outside, white on the inside.
Right, right. Yeah, somebody actually told me the other day. I told them my name is Martinez, and they go, you kind of look white. You look like you could pass.
Pass for what?
pass for what?
You can pass for 21. You buy the beer.
Right. I always got to go, like, you got to see a picture of my sister. Uh-huh. Her nickname is Chocolate, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you know, it's like, it's just jeans and...
They probably meant well. I mean, if they were serious, they meant well. I mean, I have a lot of friends that are, you know, to the left of center. I mean, to all degrees.
Yeah.
And, you know, and really nice people. And, you know, they wouldn't acknowledge a hair of racism on their head. But I remember we went to a Mexican restaurant and they brought out the salsa. And they were like, I wonder if that's hot. David, would you taste that and tell us if it's hot?
Would you taste it?
I go, you just racially profiled me.
You just, why? And, yeah, exactly. Why would, do I have like a special like tasteometer?
And the look on their faces, they were shocked because they realized, oh my God, yes, we did. We're so sorry.
Well, you know, David, lately I've been thinking like the, you know, like with this whole Kanye thing, Kanye's been talking about a little bit about racism.
Kanye, right? Isn't that like his old name?
Yeah, I'm
come
sorry.
On.
Yay.
Come on, this is,
yay, yay. I'm
this
sorry.
Is live radio.
You got to say Kanye to kind of like, you know.
Oh, put it in perspective?
Put a context around it. Now I can call him Ye, because if you just start calling him Ye, it was, remember when Prince changed his name?
Formerly known as?
Yeah, then you had to do the form, and then you had, you know, nobody knew how to pronounce that little symbol.
Uh-huh.
So everybody had to say the old name in order to, they had to say the dead name in order to say the right name. Okay. So anyway, Mr. Ye, you know, he's talking about, you know, racism against a black man. So you got me really thinking, like, you know, maybe there is some kind of systemic racism in this United States. And, you know, which I just have not thought that thought in a long time.
But you haven't experienced it because you can pass.
That's it. No. Well, I just started thinking about it and I thought, oh, wait, there is systemic racism still here in the United States. It exists in liberal circles, right? And also in elite circles.
Right.
Like these elites that they look down on everybody.
Right. It's more of a class thing.
Right. It's more of a class thing. And they kind of think like, you know, the brown, the mud peoples are kind of like a little below them. And every once in a while they get to bring somebody into the, you know, as they say, they get to
take care of their kids.
Yeah,
clean
exactly.
Their house.
Yeah, exactly. And they get to have the house servants. Yeah. So, you know, and then, but then I was thinking, you know what? Seems like all the libs that I've known, the leftists that are so hypersensitive about race. I think that it's that this whole talk of systemic racism is a way for them to process their own prejudice and mm-hmm. racism. Because the average person in America, like if I go to Texas, people aren't going to really be racist. They're not going to be thinking. They're not going to be like, what is an interracial couple doing here if I fly out to, you know, to Iowa?
Nobody's going to
be going. Yeah, nobody's going to be like, well, there's a bunch of Mexicans around. Mm-hmm. No, we've gotten past that, I think. You know, in my dad's generation, there were still signs like, no Mexicans and dogs served here. Mm-hmm. I have never personally come up against that. I've come up against, like, those microaggressions of mm-hmm. – you know, what kind of salsa should I get? Who cares? I mean, I'm not going to, like, you know, like suddenly go CRT and
right.
1619 Project because somebody misculturated me or appropriated some part of my culture or something. But I just realized that, yeah, those most average Americans, not racist. If you want to know the racists in our society today, they're the ones that are talking about systemic racism because mm-hmm. it's the way that they psychologically process their own racism and their own guilt and their own things. So next time you hear, you know, just they call you a racist, just know that they're actually just projecting.
They're just, that's right. If what was that saying? If you spot it, you got it.
You spot it, you got it. Exactly. It just was so freeing. I was like, yeah. Once again, you know, yay. When he said George Bush hates black people, I was like, who is this nut? Mm-hmm. Who is he talking? And then I actually came to a point where I regretted voting for George Bush. Mm-hmm. So
well, but what about when Biden was campaigning? Whenever he came out of the closet or out of the basement, what did he say?
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't vote for me, you're not black.
Right, exactly. On Charlemagne the God. Okay, uh-huh. Here's a guy that's actually been like saying, you know, like jumping on the anti-yay bandwagon, and. He was the one that Joe Biden says that on his program, and he doesn't call out Joe Biden right there and then. Should have canceled Joe Biden, should have sent him packing. Nope. What happened was, the senator from South Carolina, what's his name? Elijah?
Oh,
Yeah. He's that old guy. Senator from South Carolina. Uh-huh. No, he picks Biden as his guy. Mm-hmm. South Carolina, which is a majorly has a you know mm-hmm. a high proportion of blacks there voting in the primary. They elect him. Joe Biden's mm-hmm. the top of the ticket. Everybody else quits the next week. And I'm like, how is it that they are getting away with this? How is it?
Dependency. The media doesn't go after them. I mean, you know, any number of things. I mean, I was listening to a fellow that I met, Dr. Barkey, because he and another physician filed a federal lawsuit against the California law that goes into effect in January that if a physician counsels or gives advice to a patient that's contrary to the official narrative, like, you know, the vaccines,
right,
that they could lose their license. And so that
no, that's just
be,
amazing.
That, you know, that, that'll be – that's going forward. So it's like – so he's one of those people that's not afraid to speak up.
Well, that's the thing is that there are – you know, as I kind of step back and take a look at – because, you know, I do story consulting. Mm-hmm. That's my major gig is I'm a story producer. Mm-hmm. I understand story structure very, very deeply. So that's how I lens the world, you know. I look at things and I can see, like, narrative journeys and narrative paths. And so I'm really really focused on this – idea of these cultural narratives and actually in how COVID – my daughter actually said it perfectly the other day. She goes, COVID was just a good story.
Yep.
That was it.
The right story at the right time.
It was the right story at the right time so that, you know, some middle-aged woman who lives in Missouri was terrified to come out of her home, was terrified to die from the virus, was terrified, you know, had to run out and – go get, you know, the vaccine, and was praying that her kids got the vaccine. Her 25-year-old son was going to get the vaccine, lest he die.
Yeah. No. And, you know, Speaking of free speech and people calling, here, let's bring on our good friend, Bishop Juan Carlos Mendez.
All right.
Bishop, you're on the air with myself and Emilio.
Buenas noches. How's everybody doing?
Good, good. How are you doing?
It's nice to hear from you, Bishop. You know, Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. Noche buena.
Noche buena. Now, how do you say, Emilio and I, well, you met Emilio at our tree decorating. And,
yes.
And so he wanted to know how to say, happy holidays?
Happy holidays. I'd also like to know how to say happy Kwanzaa in Spanish. I feel like my multicultural moment during the holidays won't be complete until I can say happy Kwanzaa in Spanish.
Well, Kwanzaa doesn't exist in Spanish, so I guess we'll just have to use the English term or African name.
That would be like
Buenas Kwanzas.
Buenas
Kwanzas.
Buenas Festivus.
Felices Kwanzaa.
All right, now how do I say happy holidays?
Felices Fiestas.
Oh, yeah. Feliz fiestas, of course.
So, all right, so then Feliz is happy Christmas rather than Merry Christmas?
Yeah, yeah. Feliz Navidad.
Say Feliz Navidad.
Yeah, Feliz Navidad. Navidad. Yeah, just happy Christmas. It's like the British. The British say happy, mm-hmm. you know, they say. I don't think they say Merry Christmas.
Well, either. You know, Bishop, it's been an interesting year. We've got 1 week left. But boy, there are, you know, here we are in a nice, dry, warm studio, and are you there at your home? Is it? I imagine the lights are on and the heater's on, and we can't say that for everybody in this country today.
Oh no, you know my family on the East Coast, they're freezing, and they were not able to gather together around the Christmas table this year because the governor has said you need to stay put, you know, because we're not going to come and rescue you. So everybody's just at their house, and they usually have a potluck. So the potluck didn't work this year. But I thank God for California. And you know what? I feel sad for the people that left us and abandoned us because this is such a great state. You know, we have the best weather of any state. The states right now are suffering from this harsh weather.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, okay, well, it's going to get warmer. The roads are, the snow is going to melt. They'll get through it. And hopefully, you know, without too much tragedy. I don't know if we could say the same for California. I mean, what's coming, you know, next month with some of the draconian laws that limit free speech, that the Proposition 1 or the Constitutional Amendment, all these different things. I mean, I think we're...
But, David, we're not seeing the big picture here. Global warming is also hitting the planet. Temperatures are going up. You know, we're not going to have winter 10 years from now. At least that's what I think AOC said.
You mean we're going to have to move our blanket on the beach 10 feet up?
Right, exactly. So I think what's going to happen, people need to look. They need to be white-pilled. They need to have hope. When they leave California.
You are a gabacho.
Yeah. When they leave California and they move to Minnesota, they got to remember global warming is right around the corner. It's going
to
be a green Christmas.
They just have
2030.
To wait.
They just got to wait. Don't worry. You're going to take, you know, the Californians that are going to move out there, they're not only going to take the bad Democratic policies, the crime, you know, the abortion and everything else. If they play their cards right, they'll take the weather via global warming.
There you go. So, Bishop, how's everything in your neck of the woods this evening?
Well, you know, as Christians, certainly it's a time to take a break from work. It's also a time for families to reconnect. But most importantly, this holiday reminds us of the essential truths in our spiritual lives. Like, for example, Bethlehem. God's got faithfulness to keep his promises, even after all those centuries where Prophet Micah prophesies in Micah chapter 5, you know, that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And we look at all the things that happen around the birth of Jesus, Mary's obedience, the willingness of Mary to follow God's difficult will. And we have a challenge because we're living in a society where everybody is doing whatever they want to do, and we have chaos in the streets. We have, the smash and grab. We have all this vandalism, all these homeless situations. We have a myriad of social problems in our society, and especially here in Los Angeles, but in spite of everything, we see the sovereignty of God that's working through world events in order that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, because they're in another region and they had to go to Bethlehem to register. And so this registration and citizenship and migration, as long as men and women have been around, it's been happening. And then, David, your radio show, God's announcement of salvation came to people, to the shepherds. And so God is still using voices like yours to bring salvation into our society through this radio show. God is using this radio show to rescue our society from total devastation and chaos. So I thank God for your voice.
Oh, thank you, Bishop.
Because you God is using you in that area. And, the slaughter of the innocents in Matthew chapter 2, I see that there's a tragedy. And we wonder, how can a good and loving God allow this horrific evil? And we saw 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born and Herod was killing the babies. Well, it seems like the devil's always up to no good, isn't he? Because abortion is the same thing, And we see this evil in this state where, we're allowing people to come from other states to kill their babies in this state. And how do we, put a stop to it? We need to change the course of this state. We need to be proactive and not reactive. And thank God for the Hispanic Republican Club that it's the voice in the wilderness.
Well, and we're finding that more and more people share the same values as we do. We were looking at the voter rolls. I mean, you met Ellie De La Cruz, who's running in City Council District 6.
Yes.
And we were looking through the voter rolls, and I was shocked at the number of Hispanic that were already registered Republican. I mean, we sent out 1,000 Christmas cards to Hispanic Republicans just in City Council District 6, and we just barely put a dent in it. And so it was, it was a card from the club and letting him know about the club, letting him know about the radio show, letting him know that, check us out. You're not alone, because and the good news is that it wasn't just, a whole bunch of 75 and 76 and 80-year-olds. There were a lot of 20-year-olds and 21-year-olds. And so there's a reason that they're registered. And so it's, I see I'm not so optimistic that I'm naive. I'm optimistic because I look at the facts and it's like, wait a minute. These people are already, we're already here. And we're not going away. So, we only have about a minute and a half, Bishop. But how can, what words of encouragement or prayer can we give to those that are tonight don't quite have the faith that it's going to be okay.
Well, and it's interesting that you mentioned that, because the Magi, they came from Iraq. This was a group of pagan people that came to worship a child. And so we're not hopeless. You know, God is still sitting on his throne, and Jesus is alive and sitting at the right hand of the Father. So, you know, people should not be discouraged, because God is still God. And what we need to do is mobilize so we can make an impact in our society. And so this Christmas should remind us that that we're not alone, that God sent his Son to give us hope and to give us the strength that we need for the journey. And Jesus came to change history, because ever since Jesus came to this world, you know, the whole world stopped for Christmas. Yeah.
I think the word here is white-pilled. Every Christian is inherently white-pilled. They have that hope. So I'm going to ask for, I'm dreaming of a white-pilled Christmas with every baptism that takes.
And there's the music. Thank you, Bishop. We'll talk to you very soon.
Okay.
God bless you.
To all our listeners, Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. And let's work together in 2023 to bring some changes in our great city and in the Southern California area.
All right. Thank you. Good night, Bishop.
Okay, bye-bye.
And we'll be right back with Jennifer Kennedy and Capital Watch. And we're back. We're back on live, and let's go ahead and bring our favorite Legal Eagle on. Oop, I almost dropped their call. And Merry Christmas, Jennifer.
Are you there? Merry Christmas, David. Hi, Emilio.
Hey, Jennifer. How you doing?
Hey, good. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hello, everybody.
We're just waiting on pins and needles. Info, because I know you're gonna knock it out of the park. You always do.
Oh, Emilio, enough with the pressure. You know what? Tonight I'm really philosophical, and I sat in mass this evening thinking a lot about, you know, God's gift to the world, about people following a star, people following their heart, and believers, and it just made me think so gratefully about everyone right now who has been joining us in the fight in California against overreach, against tyranny, against everything wrong. And, you know, Emilio, you mentioned that your daughter said that COVID was just a good story, right? And it was a story for a long time, and the story is unraveling. And what I'm thinking tonight, I'm so thankful this evening for all the people who for the past 2.5-3 years have been fighting back against that story. And they've been fighting back against the government overreach in our state, fighting back against our legislature, trying to put into law these ridiculous COVID protocols, and also fighting back by stepping out into the public sphere. And I mean all our candidates who stepped up for offices like Assembly and Senate and School Board and City Council. I'm so grateful to everyone who has really put so much personal effort into this fight that we have in California. And, you know, I wanted to mention, last week I talked about the Peter McCullough event at the Godspeak Church, where Peter McCullough and his co-author John Leake talked about their new book, which is The Courage to Face COVID-19. And in his comments, Dr. McCullough was saying that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has reminded them many times of the things, the statement that his own father, RFK Sr., used to tell the Kennedy kids, and that is, we are so lucky to be alive in this time of change. We're so lucky to be alive to fight for civil rights. And this is a difficult time, a terrible time, but we are lucky and honored to be part of this fight. And that is what I'm feeling tonight, is the gratefulness to be part of this fight that we have in California, especially across the nation, for the nation, and so grateful to be shoulder to shoulder with so many good people standing up in this state for our rights and our liberty. So that's what I'm thinking about tonight, just generally. I didn't have a news piece or anything I wanted to talk about specifically, except this feeling of thankfulness and hopefulness for the year to come. And along those lines, I want to remind everybody, actually, make your plane tickets now before January 4th. Because remember, we've got a big grassroots day of lobbying up at the Capitol in Sacramento on January 4th. And we're not backing down. Mm-hmm. We are not ending our fight. We're just starting over in 2023. And we're going to be joining our Freedom Angels, Denise Aguilar and Tara Thornton, and all of our excellent leaders from PERC, Children's Health Defense, up there doing grassroots lobbying and engaging with our legislators and educating our legislators about the values that are important to us and the legislation we do not want to see passed. And for me, that starts with keeping the COVID shot off that school schedule for the K-12 kids. That's primary. We have to stop that. And we've got to stop every other type of COVID nonsense that they're going to be bringing up again in this next session. So once again, everybody, mark your calendars, January 4th. Get on that plane. Come up to Sacramento and join us. And it's going to be great. It's a real way to engage with your legislators where they are. And we know for a fact that when we educate them, they hear us and they are, I don't want to say they're scared of us, but we have an impact. We saw it this past session. We're going to see it again. So I want to encourage everyone to come up. So that's my thought for tonight, you guys. Anything else going on in the studio?
Well, yes, I'm just joined by the lovely Jeffy Girgenti. Welcome,
hey,
Jeffy.
Hey, I had Christmas dinner, sorry.
That's all right, Christmas dinner.
Hey, Jeffy.
Hi, how are you? Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Yes. Merry Christmas Eve.
Yes, I very merry. Well, my family always celebrated.
We found out. Feliz Navidad. And a Felisa Kwanzaa.
Oh, God.
Kwanzas.
Well, I don't do that one.
Felisa's Kwanzas.
Yeah, my family always celebrated on Christmas Eve. And since that's no longer a possibility, I have a girlfriend whose husband, we'll see how long he's with us. But so I had dinner with her, and we went to Ruth Chris over in Woodland Hills, and we had fabulous service. Our waiter, John Henry, was phenomenal. The restaurant manager, Nathan, give him a shout out. He was great. The food was excellent. And I had to run home and take my leftovers because I couldn't leave in my car. So, but I have to say, there was really no traffic. People were very pleasant on the road. And it was a full house, many babies. There were a lot of babies out. And we had no idea they were in the restaurant. So it was really nice to see so many families out dining and enjoying themselves.
Yeah, it's a time for a celebration.
Yeah.
And in fact, I was going to point out, Jennifer, it sounds like you were there at Mass. You know, you're having this Christmas.
I was.
And then you were filled with this white-pilled moment. And just to clarify, you guys know what white-pilled is, right?
Not
idea.
Like fentanyl, right?
Okay, yeah, because I'm starting to get texts like, why are you talking about white people all the time? Okay, it's not
oh, is that
white
what that
people.
Means?
No. White-pilled has nothing to do with white people. Okay, there's this new thing. You know how they got red-pilled and blue-pilled and all that stuff?
Mm-hmm. Right. So are they independent?
There's a new thing with the kids.
Oh.
The kids. You know, these kids who are based. Whatever. There's white-pilled and black-pilled, and they ask each other, are you white-pilled or are you black-pilled? Black-pilled means that you have no hope for all the chaos and all the social decay that's going on around us.
I know adults that feel that way.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Like, I have people out, you know, like, yep. I run into people and I'm like, I can't watch the news anymore. You know, it's killing me. I can't take it. Those people would be black-pilled. White-pilled means that you have a message of hope. So when you watch the news and you get, oh, Carrie Lake, her thing got thrown out today. You're still,
but she's appealing that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. That's what a white piller says is, you know what? She's going to appeal it.
She's appealing it.
She's going to keep going. We're going to keep going.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
You know what, Emilio, you have to, we in the state of California, you have to eat, you have to take the white pill, right? Because otherwise
you
cannot stay in the state of California.
Exactly. And, all the people that have left have black pilled.
That's right. I see silver linings everywhere. I see silver linings that come out of this COVID shot. It has galvanized so many mainstream people. To
yeah, I still feel it.
About vaccine injury, et cetera. It's wonderful. It has galvanized people to go up to Sacramento. It's galvanized people to take a real part in advocating for themselves. No longer do we have, oh, we'll let other people do that. Someone else is going to do that. No. Now we know we've got to do it. I'm very white-pilled, for
well,
sure.
Well, let's do a white pill now, because the radio show that's on before ours is Michelle Martinez, yeah. Mm-hmm. And today is her birthday. Ah. So she is a Christmas baby, so I don't know that she's listening, but I just wanted to do a shout-out and wish her a very happy birthday.
Happy
and she
birthday.
Got born on a very lucky day.
Well, I know some kids, they think, yeah, but they get all of the celebration goes to Christmas, and they so hopefully she wasn't celebrated over, you know, that Christmas.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Christmas,
well, I don't know. She was posting on Facebook that she had all her friends the other day that she's known since she was 12 years old, you know, wishing her happy birthday and everything. And I wrote her and I go, happy birthday? I thought it was like tomorrow. She goes, it is. So she's got a lot of people celebrating her birthday.
Well,
so.
Well, see, you know, that white pill and black pill, that's an attitude towards life. You know,
right.
it was like a story I heard about two kids.
That's right.
It was the two little kids. Well, one of them, you know, it's got the two kids, and one's always like really down and one's all really up. And, you know, their dad takes them out to the stable and he goes, hey, kids, the kid that's always depressed, he shows him a horse. Look, I bought you a horse. And the horse.
That depresses me every time I pay my burn bill.
There's no ivermectin in this story, by the way. Okay, no horse dewormer. But the kid got the horse, just going like, oh, the horse, I don't like the horse. The horse is bad. And then the other, he gave to the other kid all the horse manure in another stall. And the kid got excited and starts jumping on it and starts digging.
And he's planting corn.
He's planting corn.
Planting corn for Thanksgiving,
exactly.
To be thankful.
And they say the kid, and the dad goes like, why are you doing that, son? And he goes, I know there's a horse here somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. And I got to tell you, it really is. You have to. I, it's like I tell my kids.
I would rather say there's a stall cleaner somewhere.
Yeah, you would. I would rather be hopeful and disappointed than hopeless and right.
Well, but you know what, though? I think if you're hopeful, I don't think you're ever disappointed, because I grew up with the thought that life has two roads. You're either going to the left or the right. It's a fork in the road. And whichever fork you choose, it was the right fork, and there'll be another ahead and another ahead and another ahead. And life is really about making those choices. And the people that say, oh, why did this happen to me? Versus the people that say, well, let's see. I've always said that there's always an option. You always have an option.
Yeah, you always have a choice.
You may not like your option, but you always have an option. And it's what you do with the option that you choose that makes you successful, no matter what that is. And I hey, you know, sometimes two options are you're going to pull the plug on a loved one or wait for them to die, and there's never a good option there, but you have to find hope in one or the other. You know what I mean? And I think that's what Christmas is about, and I think that's what the birth of Jesus is about, is that we should always have hope that there's always a better day tomorrow.
Right, yep. Exactly. It's like I said, it's a white pill Christmas.
so Jennifer, so
you know what?
This January 4th,
yes, wait, Jennifer, what were you going to say?
Mm-hmm. Just back to David, do you have a question about January 4th?
Yeah, I mean, there's no bill or something that's pending. Is this more of a proactive, preemptive?
Yes, it's absolutely proactive, preemptive. You know, here's the thing. The legislature begins its session again, right? And so do we. And that means that we're galvanizing our grassroots lobbying once again. We have consistent people up there in the Capitol engaging with their legislators, knocking on their office doors and saying, by the way, we the people, you know, those people you represent back in your district. And we're starting up again on every single thing because we know that they're going to come back at us.
With SB 866.
Similar to Richard Hand. Exactly. Well, you know what? I don't think they're going to try an SB 866 again because they failed on Scott Wiener failed on that notion of a minor consenting to vaccines. What they are going to try again is an 871, which is putting COVID as a disease on that K-12 immunization schedule. Mm. They are so desperate to get that shot on the children's schedule. And why? Our listeners need to know that once that shot is on the children's schedule, then it drags it under that blanket immunity granted to those shots for product liability. Right? If you bring that COVID shot onto the children's schedule,
you can't sue them.
Immunity for suits against the manufacturer for product liability. We know full well that shot is injuring and killing not only children, but adults.
So
we know full well.
That was an SB 871, wasn't it?
And it's SB 871.
Yeah, I thought it was SB. I didn't think it was an AB.
No, it was Richard Pan. So Senator Pan, it was his bill to put it on the children's schedule, and he pulled it. Remember, that was back in April.
Yeah.
Thank God he pulled it, because he was also trying to sneak in the complete elimination of the personal belief exemption that still does exist in California law. And he pulled that. You know they're going to try it again, and we are going to be proactive. We're going to be in their faces. We're going to be educating them to say, we are educated, and you cannot put this shot. That's just one of the many things that we want to be up there educating our legislators and letting them know we're watching, we're listening, and we're opposing the things you guys are doing. So I encourage everyone. It's really fun, actually, to come up to Sacramento and join with tens and hundreds of other like-minded people in meeting with our legislators. And frankly, they're a little scared of us when we knock on the doors and when we ask
like,
for
they're
a little taken aback. So
if people can't make it,
get on that plane, come up there.
Well, if people can't make it to January 4th, there's some door knocking you need to do on the county supervisors, because does everybody remember the Woolsey fire?
Woolsey.
No,
the Woolsey fire.
500 houses burned to the ground. People are homeless in Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
243 people are still without their homes, and 80 of them have filed for permits that they cannot get. And Thursday, our lovely new L.A. County Board of Supervisor, Ms. Horvath, while she sat on the phone, did not support them keeping their temporary housing, and they pulled their temporary housing. And so now those people are going to also have no place to live.
These are people in Malibu.
They still cannot get permits.
Is L.A. crazy?
Elections have consequences.
Isn't L.A. crazy? Like, we're the only town that actually has, like, rich people that are homeless?
They're not all rich, though. That's the problem. They're not all rich. A lot of them
are. Some people.
No, but I mean, you're killing the joke there.
Second or third
but no,
generation.
But good point.
Yeah. All right, Jennifer, thank you so much. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you to your family for sharing you with us on this evening.
Oh, they're so supportive. Thank you so much, you guys. Have a great evening. Merry Christmas to everybody, and see you next week.
You got it.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, you know, in Malibu, it's outside the L.A. city limits, right?
Because part of Malibu is within their county. Part of the people affected by the Woolsey fire are in Agora and in Thousand Oaks plus Malibu. Some of them are in county, some of them are in city. And they have pulled, the LA County Board of Supervisors pulled their temporary housing. And they're trying, if you talk to the stories, I've talked to some of them, and when you listen to their stories about how they've tried to get their permitting and what they've done to them, I mean, a woman in my barn built their house a year before the fire. They moved into their house a year before the fire. They'd literally been in the house not even an entire year. 2,800 square feet, and it burned to the ground. It was, the fire was so strong, their wolf stove was across the street. They had a safe house, and it actually decimated the cinder block.
Okay, so you know what this makes me think about is the you know, the past is prologue, right? Mm-hmm. Past is prologue. Hindsight is foresight, right? So
you mean cancel check, promissory note?
Yeah, something like that. So Karen Bass.
Bass,
whatever her name is. Karen, I just call her Karen B. So she's
becoming a Karen.
Yeah, she is a Karen.
She was being, a Karen before she was elected.
Right, yeah. So she got this new initiative. I saw it. Like, she rolled it out.
Homeless is an emergency?
Yeah, it's an emergency.
Yeah, but Alex fell in the wave of the old sheriff. Already had tried that 2 years ago, and everyone poo-pooed him.
Well, here's the deal. She's doing this thing. So now she seems like the hero. She's going to fix homelessness. But again, past is prologue. If the same people that could not handle the situation in Malibu can't get these people housed again, how is Karen
housed? How about you just need to give them the permit so they could build?
Yeah. Well, exactly.
They just need to build.
Well, no, yeah. It's like you said that they've got their temporary. They're having problems with their temporary housing. That's the plan.
Well, they're not having problems. They pulled their permits.
Yeah, so they can't build.
They cannot. No.
Well, I would call that a problem.
Hold on.
That's what I would say is a problem.
Hold on. So when this took place, they had to pull permits in order to clear the debris.
Right.
Okay? And they couldn't get permits for that. And some of them started clearing their properties, and then they got fined for clearing without a permit.
Right, yeah.
Then my girlfriend has a hill that you go down to get into her property, and they needed to – they had three huge mudslides with all the rains after the fires. So they have access to big movers and dirt movers and whatnot. Right. They went in, they cleared it, they got fined for that. Then they had to clear the driveway so Edison could get on the property to put a temporary pole up. They got fined for that.
Right.
Then they had armed people in uniform show up saying that they got a complaint about something with an oak tree. Because she goes, well, I've got 100 oak trees. Which one? They go, well, we're not sure. She goes, so let me get this straight. You're coming on my property armed to tell me there's a problem with my oak tree, and you don't know which oak tree it is, and now you want to tell me that I am violating something, and you can't tell me what the violation is? She goes, you won't be on my property, and she did not say that as kindly as I just did. No. So there is a huge problem.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Just one sec, because we're getting close to the break. But we have someone that wants to, a listener that wants to wish us Merry Christmas.
All right.
Let's bring him on. Carlos, you're on the air live with David and Jeffy, and Emilio is here tonight.
Hey, well, Carlos, Merry Christmas.
To everybody, and I emphasize the word Christmas because one day I'm sure the New World Order will pull it off. We'll delete it from our vocabulary, but I was overhearing Dennis Prager the other day, and he interviewed a couple of doctors.
Yeah, Barky.
Who are claiming that as of January, there's a law in California already that if a doctor gives advice that's contrary to the consensus of the scientific community, that the license will be revoked.
That's AB 2098.
Yes, exactly. That's the and apparently it is a law already. Isn't it, or is it still going through?
No, it has passed.
It has passed.
Oh my God.
And it's going to go into effect in January. However, Dr. Barky, and I forget the name of the other doctor that was on Dennis's show, they have filed for an injunction in a federal court because what it's doing, it's restricting professional speech. So because if they could do that to doctors, they could do it to lawyers, they could do it to anybody. And so, but
exactly. And mm-hmm. also, I was concerned. Also, I think there's a law that passed in California always for reparations for descendants of slaves. And my question is, we're all going to be penalized, and I really have nothing to do with slavery. This is, it's a divisive method.
Florida's got a lot of space if you want to move.
No, no, no. Don't black pill. Don't black pill people. No, actually, I think this reparations thing is a good idea. I do. I think it's a good
only
idea.
Only if you're a Democrat.
No, no, no. It's a good idea. It's a good idea for African Americans. And the first check they cut, I went to go to the man formerly known as Kanye West. Yay. Will Smith should get the second check, and the third check should go to LeBron James. I want them to do a big check signing ceremony where they get the big check.
A big giant check?
The big giant check. And I want them
does
to,
that go with their blue check on Twitter?
Yeah. I want those three guys to get the first check.
Carlos, we're actually, after the new year, we're going to go into an in-depth discussion of that because I think, too, it's also a great opportunity to bring up right now, all the talk is about who's going to get paid. I think we need to include in that dialogue who pays. So Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's, Carlos. Thank you for calling in, and we're going to go to a break.
Thank you very much.
Merry Christmas.
Stay healthy. Don't take the vaccination.
That ship sailed.
Too late. David
that ship
already
sailed.
Did. And he still didn't get to take a vacation.
That's right. I should be getting a check, right?
You should be getting a check for all the land that they stole from you.
That's right. It's the Southwest.
Oh, actually, money was
I thought it was sold.
Yeah, actually, that's what a lot of people
well, that
know
means that the Irish should be getting a check, too, because they were the first ones put into slavery before the black people.
No, no, we're talking about the land that they took from our Aslan. They took Aslan from us. Actually, the U.S. government paid out sums of money to the Mexican government for these lands.
Right.
So they already
and
paid
do you know
for
that
it.
The Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo was yeah. signed over there on Lancashire, right across from Universal Studios?
That's right. I've seen that. Yeah,
yeah and
I've
it's there. That, yeah. They used to have a ceremony every year, but I guess it went against the narrative.
Yeah, it goes against the narrative, exactly.
And so it's something. And, you know, and that goes into a whole – if we start getting into and we probably should get into history is just how long did Mexico have claim to the Southwest? It was only like 20 years.
20 years. Yeah. 20 years.
And so before that,
as a New Mexican, I hold that very closely.
There you go. Next thing, you don't tell me you're a Dodger fan.
No, I'm not a Dodger. Oh, okay, I like the good. Dodger dogs.
Oh, the Dodger dogs.
I'm a Dodger dog fan.
Because we have to go into that. If we're going to talk, if we're going to have reparations, it's got to start with Chavez Ravine.
Right.
And that's just the reality. I mean, you know, we don't want center field or the mound, but you know,
just the cost of parking.
10% of the parking fees goes to the descendants of Chavez Ravine.
And
some
we will
of them
continue
are still
this
alive.
Conversation at the 9 o'clock hour because we are going to commercial.
We'll be right back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.